This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
I'm actually going to talk and give you an overview of the Well London programme. What is Well London? It's a four-year programme working with 20 of the most deprived communities in London to promote physical activity, healthy eating and mental health and well-being by delivering integrated interventions which act structural and community levels as well as at the individual level. And it's a programme which really takes on board some of the points that Michael was making earlier about how influences within the environment strongly determine, in terms of constraining or supporting, the sorts of health-related lifestyle choices which individuals can make. Both of the speakers have really touched upon what's presented in this slide. We are in a situation in London where we do have a small but significant rate of widening of health inequalities. There's been a whole tranche of policy documents, particularly since the One List report in the early 2000s and leading up through the WHO work, which Michael has presented, the Health Select Committee's report on health inequalities and the response of the government to that. The development of the mayoral duty and the draft health inequalities strategies. And more recently, I think there's been an expansion of work on how to respond to health inequalities and evaluate responses. That's we've moved out of a phase of characterising them and into a phase of thinking about how we can do something about them. And just this week, the National Endowment for Science, Technology and the Arts published a new report suggesting how the health service might think about responding to the public sector spending constraints which it's facing and suggesting that we needed to do more upstream health improvement work rather than less as a consequence of any financial constraints, but I'll come back to that later. Both Michael has already laid out what the key issues are in relation to the WHO strategy, and we've heard about the mayoral strategy. And I'm going to come back at the end to consider how Well London ticks the boxes in relation to the priorities and philosophies of those two lines of thinking and health inequalities. How did the Well London programme come into being? Well, 2006, late 2006, early 2007, the big lottery announced it had about £150 million to spend on its well-being programme with a focus on promoting healthy food eating, healthy physical activity and mental health and well-being in communities. Now, I, at the time, went along to a meeting at North East London Strategic Health Authority, which was trying to pull together health service organisations in East London to put together a bid for this. And it turned out that all of the sectors in London were doing something similar. And pretty soon people realised that everybody putting in competitive bids for London was a silly idea. People sat down and started to think, and what is this actually about? Well, actually, this is about health inequalities. It's about the structural determinants of health and well-being. What is the London-wide organisation that is primarily concerned with this? And, of course, it's the London Health Commission, because the London Health Commission is the strategic partnership for London, which brings together local government, transport, police, all of the agencies whose actions are crucial in determining and creating the environment within which people's health is delivered. So the LHC was agreed to lead, and everybody got behind the LHC in the public sector environment. Then the lottery invited everybody, or informed everybody who'd expressed interest, of the identity of other people that had expressed interest, and all the London bidders came together. And there were a group of organisations who were all planning to put in bids, and you'll see who they were later, who said, hang on a minute, this is an ideal opportunity for us to forge a new partnership to really create a statutory sector and voluntary sector alliance to promote health and well-being in London. And that came together, and everybody agreed that we were going to develop together a project which would deliver integrated work which would impact social, economic and physical environments which condition health behaviours as well as acting on health behaviours directly. The overall philosophy or approach was to work at the very local level When we talk about the very local level, as you'll see, we're talking about communities of 1,500, 2,000 individuals. That's poor estates across London. We agreed that we would give the people the voice and ground the development of the programme around the local communities themselves using community development co-production of processes. We agreed that we would aim to join up and integrate with local work that was already going on. That means not going parachuting people into local authorities or PCTs and presenting oneself as the best thing since sliced bread, but really working to develop relationships with people who had a legitimate concern in the area and were already delivering interventions and services, and add value and join up with those. Now, although we had pan-London local partnerships, it's not the organisations in the Well London Alliance that are delivering the activity on the ground. The principle was to use local delivery partners as far as possible. That means organisations that are already there, in order to ensure sustainability, that we were building the infrastructure in the areas rather than the infrastructures within our own organisations. And finally, and crucially, to provide rigorous evaluation, which would provide learning and evidence to support rollout and mainstreaming of the programme as it went ahead. So who is the World London Alliance? Well, the London Health Commission is the lead partner and coordinates. Then we have Groundwork, whose area of expertise is the green and built environment, and they're delivering project activity on the ground in each of the areas chosen. We have South London and the Maudsley NHS Trust, their health promotion section who has the expertise in mental health and well-being. We have the Arts Council for England, who work on cultural and creative practice. We have the London Sustainability Exchange, who are interested more broadly in areas of sustainability in London, but with a particular interest in healthy food and in aspects of supply and demands of healthy food. Central YMCA, with a focus on youth and physical activity. And ourselves, the Institute for Health and Human Development, who work on community engagement, jobs and social enterprise, and the evaluation components of the programme. So the integrated project activity on the ground, as I've said, is in close coordination with local PCTs and third sector and existing initiatives. The role of the Health Commission is overall to lead and coordinate the programme, but it's also working with its strategic alliance to mobilise support and expertise from all of the London Health Commission partners for the programme, to disseminate the learning, and critically, to work towards developing commissioning models which would support commissioners in commissioning similar sorts of local level projects into the future. Well, the Well London project menu, there's a whole range of different projects and activities which are going on, ranging from community engagement, the Well London delivery team, which means that in each of these areas or estates, there's five or six local community members that have been trained and supported to act as health champions. As I've said, there's job brokerage and social enterprise activity, which are trying to support the sustainability of the programme. Work on youth, maps of the areas in the local amenities to signpost people to existing provision, training programmes, network across all of the different areas. Then within culture and tradition, there's a Be Creative, Be Well arts-based programme around health promotion for well-being. Physical activity, Activate London. Within the area of healthy eating, there's Eat Well, which is about promoting people to make that healthy eating choices, and Buy Well, which is about working with local retail sectors to make more healthy food options available. There's work on the built environment and green space, healthy spaces, and then there's two programmes in relation to mental health. That's DIY Happiness, which is a positive psychology approach to promoting well-being within communities, and Changing Minds, which is about destigmatising serious mental illness and those who have serious mental illness. So, how did we select the areas? Well, when we realised that we wanted to work at the very, very local level, and when we realised that the Health Commission really had a priority to work across London more broadly, that we couldn't really just focus in the East End, for instance, we sort of realised that we had quite a useful opportunity to do some proper rigorous evaluation here. So we selected 20 boroughs who had at least 4 lower super output areas, that's communities of about 1,500 people. So we selected 20 local authorities, and within those local authorities, we identified the 4 most deprived lower super output areas on index of multiple deprivation. We then discussed with the local authorities and the local PCTs which their priorities were, and from those we took 2 of these super output areas, and we then randomised them. 1 to an intervention super output area and 1 to a comparison super output area. So we had the basis, we'd actually set the intervention up and chosen our areas in a way which was going to allow us to do a randomised trial downstream if we could find the resources. And this just gives you a list, and you don't need to read it all, of the lower super output areas in each ward of the IMD score and the within London IMD rank. And there's about 3,000 in London, so you can see that all of these super output areas are to the bottom end of the high end in terms of deprivation, and populations around 1,500, 2,000. Just to give you an example of the sort of size of the area you're talking about, this is Greenwich. You can see the intervention and control areas in Greenwich, Greenwich Riverside and Greenwich Common. And looking at more detail, you can see there, that's the Barnfield estate in Woolwich, which is the intervention area. So to talk briefly about, once we'd chosen the areas, what did we do? Well, we started off by doing some detailed community engagement work in each area. We worked with local co-hosts that were local voluntary organisations, and we ran processes of series of community cafes where we brought residents in to talk about the area, the issues that they had with their health. We then brought the local residents together with local voluntary and statutory service providers to take forward those discussions, and we at the same time constructed detailed data profiles or in relation to the health and well-being of each of these communities and mapping existing service and provision. We use that information to produce tailored area-specific activities and programs of work, which were then reviewed by a community and statutory voluntary sector stakeholders, and then we set out in delivering those projects. Now, the community engagement findings were interesting in themselves. There was, of course, a whole range of specific issues in relation to the different domains, but there were also, looking across the area, some key concerns that emerged. Concerns about youth and community safety, lack of community and community cohesion, parks, green spaces and dogs, fast food and healthy eating. And when we talked to people about health, they kept coming back and talking about these sorts of issues again and again. And I think that one of the things that I've learned after years working as an epidemiologist is that this sort of community engagement and local qualitative work actually is extremely good at identifying some of the ways in which different elements of the environment interact to constrain people from making healthy lifestyle choices. And to put it very simply, if you look at this rather complicated diagram at the bottom, if you look at the yellow square on the right, youth antisocial behaviour, universally a major concern for these communities. When you actually start to surface the stories, you find that youth antisocial behaviour is actually a cause of reduced physical activity in the elderly. And it seems a bit odd to start with, but when you look at it, you find youth congregating in the stairwells of many of these estates, often smoking cannabis, providing a general feeling that the area is unsafe, making older people unwilling to go out into the environment, which means that they take less physical activity. It means that they don't access healthy foods from the local markets, etc. They become isolated, so they end up having reduced physical activity, poor diets, and isolation and poor mental health. And as a result, and unless one acts on several of these different components in a local environment simultaneously, you won't have effect. So moving on very quickly now, I showed you earlier how we had randomised these areas at the start so that we had intervention and control communities. And we've now completed baseline surveys in each of the 20 intervention areas and each of the 20 control areas, and we've got nearly 6,000 household-based questionnaire responses. We're also doing some longitudinal qualitative studies, and also working with the School of Hygiene, we're doing area-based descriptions. So we're looking at walkability, aesthetic quality of the environment, issues around community safety. So we're characterising the areas and so that we can actually look at the relationships and what in the characteristics of the area determines the individual level health behaviours as measured by the questionnaires. And I think this is providing us with some really unique new intelligence in relation to how these communities, how health and behaviour and health behaviour in these communities is working out, and how the structure and of the areas actually support or constrain people making healthy lifestyle choices. Just at the project level evaluation, we've been doing sort of exit polls on people that have been in contact with Well London programmes, and here you can see these are percentages, I'm sorry I didn't put it in, from a variety of Activate London Physical Activity Programme, Be Creative, Be Well. We asked them whether the participation has helped them across the major outcomes, eat more healthily, access healthy food, increase physical activity, feel positive about life. And you can see that each of the projects is actually generating self-reported outputs across the board, not just in their area of primary activity. So in conclusion, I think if we look at the key areas for the mayoral strategy and the key areas from the WHO CDSC report, we tick quite a lot of the boxes. Well London ticks quite a lot of the boxes. And although we acknowledge that we need to work at the macro level as well as the micro level, I think this is a great example of a micro level project which is really blazing the trail in relation to how to work. But questions remain. Will the trial demonstrate hard outcomes? You know, it's all very well getting excited about proper evidence, but actually we could demonstrate no effect. And I think that's worrying to me personally, because it's clear to me that this sort of approach will work. Will health authorities and local authorities have the money to fund area-based health improvement in the current funding crisis, if you like, or are they going to retrench back to key acute service provision and keeping that core alive? I think that the Nesta recently this week published this report saying actually the health authorities need to go for this sort of work if they're going to save money. And I think that the point was made that the crisis creates opportunities for us to work differently and reprioritise. How can the Health Commission, how could health authorities commission this type of intervention downstream? Well, I think that the London Health Commission is working at the moment to build that commissioning model. Will the impact of Well London be sustained beyond the current funding period? And this is always a problem with these sorts of projects. You go in, you do great work, and then the funding dries up. And I'd like to leave you with the remarks of one of our Well London delivery team ladies from Hammersmith and Fulham, where the PCTs has brought this model for Well London into its mainstream commissioning now. And I'd just like you to listen to what she has to say about the future of this type of initiative.
Everything I have to say about Well London. Are you going to be here for the next 5 years, or are you just here just for a little bit and say, oh, I have done my little bit and that's it, I'm gone? No, we don't want that. What we want here is we want sustainability. We want whatever you start to continue with for the people of Y City. And I'm hoping that you will. Otherwise, you will have to answer to me.
Thank you.